G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway Podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. And this is episode 217, brought to you by our Patreon members community. Without the support of our patrons, we simply could not be bringing you this podcast each and every week. I really hope that you would consider joining. It truly has been a success for our members. It's been remarkable to see the progress that some of them have been making in the Zoom accountability meetings that we hold each month. We hold two in the north and two in the southern hemispheres. Also, there's a lot of bonus content for you to listen to in the Patreon members community. All of the stuff that's been recorded over the last several months is there. There's things like bonus podcasts, there's audio series topics, 5-minute focuses, and much, much more. And if you're interested in joining us, and I really hope you would give it some consideration because I think it's great, you can go to the link there in the show notes at www.patreon.com/thefastinghighway. Okay, folks, let's get on today's podcast. I'm really delighted today to be talking to Sheila Parsons. And Sheila is a 70-year-old retired federal employee from Atlanta, Georgia. And Sheila is a wife, mother, and grandmother. And she's been raising two of her grandchildren, a 20-year-old in college and a 15-year-old in high school. And she's lived in the Atlanta area all of her life. And Sheila describes herself as being obsessed with intermittent fasting, as you'll hear about in this podcast. But I won't spoil the story any further because I really want Sheila to tell it. So here she is, the amazing Sheila Parsons. Oh, g'day, Sheila, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you so much for joining me today.
And I said, okay, well, I'll try it. And, you know, I was a little reluctant because I have failed every diet I've ever tried. I have been dieting since I got out of high school, keeping my weight under control and, you know, tried everything, Weight Watchers. I probably hold the record for joining Weight Watchers so many times and never losing weight. I always would try. I've gone to extremes. I swallowed a bubble that the doctors had you just swallow. I don't know if anyone has ever heard of that, but that was to fill up your stomach and give you a feeling of fullness. But I just struggled and just never had the willpower or whatever to do it. And then when I happened upon this and it just stuck with me, delay, don't deny, just really drew me in because I thought, oh, okay, I can eat, quote, what I want to, as we discussed. And, but learned quickly that what I wanted was what I started calling, and a lot of other people, window-worthy food. I wanted good food, tasting food. Fast food didn't taste as good anymore. I began in January of 2019. That was 5 years ago, weighing 205 pounds. I'm 5'2", and I currently weigh 134 pounds. I'm total weight loss was 71 pounds.
Unbelievable.
And I am, yes, I'm healthy. I walk for exercise. I'm not a big exerciser, although I was very active in school and still love to play basketball. I swim in the summer and have a few hobbies. I was volunteering at my daughter's school, but she's in college now and I haven't started back with any other volunteering other than helping people with, I retired from Social Security Administration, and I help people who have trouble applying for their benefits. Just something that I do informally. I just love it. I'm so annoying. My family says I'm annoying. It's a joke. They'll say, oh, have you heard about intermittent fasting? If I ask about anything, they'll say, oh, have you heard about it? But I know. I think at least 15 of my friends and family started doing intermittent fasting, and about half of them are still doing it. So that's pretty good.
Sure is. That's fantastic. 15 people followed your example. I mean, nearly 70 pounds or 70 pounds over 5 years is amazing on a 5'2" frame, Sheila.
Yes.
Let's go back to your let's go back to your earlier life for a minute when you were carrying that 70 pounds. How debilitating was that for you? Some of the effects it was having on you emotionally, physically, stopping you from doing things? Was it torment, that sort of thing, and all the diets that you tried? It must have been a roller coaster for you.
It was. And I worked for Social Security and I traveled some. And a couple of things that were so humiliating was when I had to fly, and you know, you're trying to fasten that seatbelt buckle and it wouldn't go around. And I just knew the last time I had flown, I said, you know, I'm going to have to ask for an extension belt next time. That was a turning point for me about having to do something about my weight. And then we had a conference New Orleans. And so after the conference, you know, everybody was going out and everything. And I just did not feel like going out with my friends because there was a lot of walking involved. And, you know, I would be short of breath because being short, there's not a lot of room for that just to breathe. I did talk with my doctor and I told her I wanted to lose weight and everything. And she says, well, you know, you're an active person, you know, you're raising children, you know, in your old age, so to speak. Do you see any 80-pound overweight women, morbidly obese, walking around? Do you ever see that? And I said, no. She said, because they're all bedridden. So if you want to be active and, you know, have a fulfilling life, then lose some weight. So, you know, they're more politically correct. Doctors used to just tell you were fat. Now they're more politically correct and don't, you know, do that. But so I said, okay, that's what I want to do. So I started out with a nutritionist, you know, going about what was good for me, get off the drinks, you know, Cokes, drink more water, take vitamins, take probiotics. So I did all of that. And I did okay, just counting calories and everything. But then I heard about this and it was for me.
Yeah. And so when you heard about intermittent fasting, you know, from the people that you were hearing about it from, you started reading and you found the information, what was your first thoughts? Like, I remember when I sort of first read about it, I remember it distinctly. I was lying in the hammock. It was a really hot day. And I read this thing on the internet. I was just scrolling around and this thing called intermittent fasting, one meal a day. And I thought, what sort of weirdos do that? It really struck me that it was a very strange thing to do because I'd come from this long history of eating multiple times a day. Had it drummed into me my whole life, how many times you had to eat a day. Did you find it? How did you find it? What did you think about it? Or did you find it super interesting?
I did find it super interesting because it said that, you know, I read a Jen's story, how she had lost the weight, and then heard about other people. And then I joined some of the fasting groups and saw that people were not selling anything. Nobody was selling anything and they were giving their testimonies. So there was nothing in it for them, but to telling it. And I thought, well, you know, I can do this. And so I made a commitment, which I'm not really big on making commitments if I'm not sure about it. But I made a commitment to my son and daughter-in-law. But I said, I'm going to give this a try. I gave myself a time to read up on it and read the book and everything. And I then I got started. The first week was hard. I added cream to my coffee a couple of days because I need that coffee to get going. That is my one thing I love, the coffee. And that's the couple of days I did that, and just to make sure that it wasn't upsetting my stomach. I had in my mind the coffee was going to bother my stomach. And then from there on, I clean fasted. Even Thanksgiving dinners, stuff like that, you know, where you need to taste your food. I remember one time I tasted the food when I was cooking. I just spat it out. I can't do that. That's breaking my fast. So I was very diligent with it. And I just thought, you know, after, I didn't really know if it was going to work or not. I didn't know if I'd go past a week. You know, I was tired the first couple of weeks. I was watching the clock. You know, I was really watching the clock. And is it time for my fast to be over? And I know one night I didn't feel like I'd had enough food. and I just couldn't sleep. I couldn't rest. So I drank water. I did everything. And I just went in there and I ate a couple of crackers. I said, okay, but I'm not going to let that stop me. I'm going to do that because I just felt like I was starving to death. So I did that. And, you know, after that, it was just a couple of weeks.
You know, when I was obese, Sheila, I got to that point where I thought, I'm just going to be obese the rest of my life. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to reverse this. I was going up and down. I was trying things and nothing was working. You know, like you, long history of trying different things. And I think sometimes you do get to that point of acceptance where you just think, you know, this is me. This is what I'm going to be. I'm just going to have to deal with this. And I sort of always thought that I might find something, but I just was almost getting to that point of accepting that I was obese. Did you ever get that point where you thought at 65 that you were never going to get this weight off your body, that that was just going to be you in your retirement? Or did you have a burning passion to find something?
Well, I had a lot of thoughts about that. A couple, because even though I was morbidly obese, I never had hypertension. I didn't have a lot of health problems. I was starting to have issues with my knees, you know, walking and everything. And I was still pretty active, but I thought, and that's why I spoke with my doctor and started going to a nutritionist, because I did want to lose weight. I guess maybe I did have that defeated attitude because my husband, he married me. This is my third husband. I have a joke. I don't have trouble finding a man. I just can't keep one. I was divorced and then widowed and then remarried. And we've been married 22 years. And so my weight was never an issue with him and I was accepted. And so I was pretty comfortable. I had a good career, a good family life. I was pretty happy, but I always wanted to lose weight. I never was happy. There are some people who are happy the way they are. I was never happy that way. I was never, never happy. And it was slowing me down and I could not do the things that I wanted to do.
So emotionally, and it was really impacting on you. You're in a sedentary job, working in Social Security.
Yes.
You weren't out there, you were 70 pounds, then you retire and you just find intermittent fasting. Your life's really just started again. It's just like sprung into life for you. Like you've lost the 70 pounds off your body. I mean, that's life-changing, Sheila. I know what it's like to get a vast amount of weight off our body, right? And for you, 5'2", 70 pounds is like taking a whole stack off. So what has that done for you as a person? What has it done for your life, those around you? It just must be so exhilarating for you.
It really is. I feel I am so much more confident about, you know, my appearance. I love clothes. I can wear clothes that, you know, I could not wear before. I actually have some of my granddaughters hand-me-downs that I wear, or hand-me-ups, however you want to put it. I just have so much energy. It's like, I told someone, I said, it's like, I can't explain when they started off, and I told people to start, I said, let me know when you reach that peak and when your energy just hit you and you just can't, you know, you're just so busy. So doing this, doing that. I probably have more energy than anyone in my circle, anyone in my tribe of friends and family. I just have so much energy. And I think it's just so good. And I just feel so much better about myself knowing that I'm healthy, knowing that I can bend over and pick up stuff and not feel like I'm going to topple over. If you want to, you know, get right down to it, being able to do everything I wanted to do, to climb up on a ladder if I want to, although my doctor says don't climb on ladders anymore. Just do things, everyday things, nothing big. I can walk anywhere I want to. I don't seem to get out of breath. Just, you know, where I would before, I can take a walk, I can swim. I do dream of running. I cannot run anymore. It's been years since I've been able to run, but I do have this recurring dream where I'm running. I don't think my body's equipped to run anymore. Said I've not had any knee replacement or anything like that.
Yeah, well, it's a thing called Couch to 5K. You should look it up and have a crack. Even if you run, you know, the first time I realized that I could actually run when I lost weight, I've described it as a Forrest Gump moment. I've said it many times in the podcast. You know, just walking, and I felt so amazing because this weight was off my body that was crushing me for so long, decades of my life. And I'm walking down this track, and all of a sudden I start this little jog. Next thing, I break out into this amazing run, and tears are running down my face, and I'm just going, oh, my God, I can actually run. And it was one of the most exhilarating moments of my whole life. And I remember it vividly. And then from then, I was just doing a little bit of jogging, a little bit of walking, you know, and it was just, it's really great when you have that feeling, but I'm sure you can. And I've got to say, Sheila, you know, I interview a lot of people, and when I see them on the screen, they all have this common thing about them as they've been doing intermittent fasting for a while, is that they're really glowing as you are. Your skin's amazing. And you don't look like a lady that's 70, I've got to tell you. And I say this a lot to people. I mean, you have reversed aging, and you must feel like you're much younger than what you actually are.
I do. I feel like I'm much younger, and I think younger, and I feel, you know, I'm very grateful for my skin being, you know, looking nice. I never smoked, and occasional drinker, but, you know, which sometimes that does affect the way people look, but it does make me feel good, especially having younger kids that I'm around and taking care of, that I don't look so ancient, and that I do feel younger, and I'm grateful for good skin, and I accept the compliments. You know, it was always hard for me to accept a compliment. If you're, you know, well, if you're overweight, some people, well, she's overweight, but she's got a pretty face. Every overweight lady, we don't use the word fat in my family. We used to say fluffy. We always said fluffy, but all fluffy ladies. Yeah, fluffy. Another F word. But yes, but thank you very much for that compliment.
It's okay. You know, it made me laugh, actually, when you talked about doctors telling us that we're fat. Well, I remember the last doctor that said to me, looked at me straight in the face and said, Graham, you're fat and you need to lose weight. But there was one problem, Sheila. The doctor that was telling me that was probably about 50 pounds heavier than I was when I was at my heaviest. And I was looking at him and I was thinking, it's hard for me to take you seriously. I remember leaving the doctor's suit, but we always, and it always say, look, you need to eat less, move more, eat less, move more. Okay, well, what happens after that? What's the plan? And there was never any plan from doctors, was there, you know? And now we've got doctors, I know of doctors in New Zealand that are writing scripts on pieces of paper about intermittent fasting, fast for this period of time, eat for this period of time, come back and see me in 6 months. Amazing how the world's turned and how some doctors.
Yes, it is amazing. Now.
And speaking of doctors, what have they been like for you? Have you been back to see your doctor in the 5 years and are they on board?
Yes, I have. In fact, one of my doctors, I kept her posted and sent her pictures via email of my progress because she was not working in the same capacity anymore. And the last trip with my doctor, she wanted to talk about it. She spent some time with me and she wanted to know exactly what I was doing because, you know, she knew of my struggles for all these years she'd been with me and was just as surprised as I was that I had stuck with it, to be very honest. She's the one who got me involved with the nutritionist and everything. It's within the 5 years, everything has changed. When I was, I think I told you that I had to have some surgery a couple, 2 years ago, when the EMTs, they transported me and there were three of the EMTs were doing intermittent fasting. Now that was pretty good, you know? And so, because prior to that, you know, and a lot of doctors were telling the people, and I read some of the stuff in our fasting group, oh, you know, you need to eat three meals a day or six meals a day, six small meals, this, that, and the other. We're so against it. And, you know, and you never want to tell someone, don't go against your doctor's orders, but, you know, find another doctor, ask around, do what's good for you.
100%. Find a doctor that's on board, find a doctor that's done the research, and find a doctor that's up with the science. And if they're not, sack them and get another one, because there's plenty of them out there that are up with it. Yeah. And there's some doctors that just stay in this archaic box and they're too frightened to go out of it, or they're in the hip pocket of the farmers that are supplementing the income of the practice that they work at and that sort of thing. So you got to realize where their agenda is and writing out scripts full of pills for you all the time. So that's important to take on board. And I'm really glad. And just on touching on your family that's been teasing you, I'm here to tell you that Sheila is amazing, and we love her in our Facebook group of 12,000 people. So stop teasing her, because she is incredible. Anyone that's 65 that picks this up, runs with it for 5 years, loses 70 pounds, you are a role model for people that are over 55, 60, and as simple as that, Sheila.
Oh, thank you so much. And I really want to be that person. I want people who are my age and even older. I mean, we have some older people in our group.
We do.
It's just
85.
amazing. It's amazing. I admire them, and I look at them and see what they're doing, and I want to be like them too. I want to continue to be able to do this. And the health benefits, I don't guess we talked about that, but I told you I have perfect cholesterol and a perfect blood pressure. My BMI is normal for once in my whole life, your whole life. And just to be healthy. A lot of people my age, and you're considerably younger than I am, Graham, but they don't get up out of bed, they don't go anywhere, they don't do anything, and they're missing out on so much. You can't, if you, my philosophy is you got to keep moving. Whatever you do, whatever your size, you just got to keep moving every day. Whatever you're going through, and I'm an emotional leader, and I've had some hard knocks in life, but you have to get up and go.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing that I would tell anybody, just get up and go.
Keep the wheels turning, as I say.
Keep
Keep
them,
them great.
keep
Keep
them
them.
turning.
Yeah. It's like this morning I woke up and I thought, oh man, should I go for a walk or not? And you know what I do? I put my walking and running shoes next to my bed. So when I step out of bed, I nearly step on them, right? And I have my clothes laid out for walking. I have my shorts and I have my t-shirt there and I look at them and they're in my face. So they're saying to me, Graham, put these on. Let's go for a walk. And that's what happened this morning. I looked at them and I sort of second guessed myself. And then I thought, I'm going for a walk. And that's a good tip for people. Put your walking clothes or your exercise clothes near your bed where you step out in the morning. And it really puts you thinking about it and start your day really well. But you mentioned there when you're overweight, 70 pounds, and you sort of was impacting on you psychologically and the way you felt about yourself, and you're much more positive now. And I think when we start our day with positive self-affirmations and say some nice things about ourselves, Sheila, it really sets me up, I know, for my day. And I know the way I think about myself now is totally different to how I did when I was obese. And I can see that really shining out of you.
You look haggard. And some days I do look haggard. I'm a busy woman.
They're
And
wrong
your
about
body,
that.
you can't lose the weight where you want it to. I don't have the cheekbones that I had, the fill in. I have the lines that I don't have. Okay, so maybe to you I look like that. And I say, I'd rather look like a scarecrow and be healthy. But also, finally, I'd had enough of it from this one person. And so she said that. And I said, you know what? When I was morbidly obese, I said, you didn't say, Sheila, you're a big fat arse. Why don't you lose some weight? So why do you comment on my weight now? But that is true if you think about it.
Was that person that was saying that, what was her health like?
She was overweight.
Yeah. And that's, you know what it is one, they're jealous of what you've done. Two, they're struggling with it, being able to think about doing something like that themselves. But my harshest critics, Sheila, when I started this several years ago, were some of my best friends that I've had for my whole life. Best friends are very brutal with each other, right? And I was bailed up in a pub at the bar, and these guys said, we're having an intervention because you've got too skinny, you're looking like this, and all those things that you just mentioned. And I got a guy to take a photo of us, and I showed him the photo, and I said, who do you think looks the most healthiest in this photo? And they all looked at each other, and that was it. The intervention was over. And afterwards, three of them rang me, and they said, all right, we're sold. How do we go about it? And two of them are now doing it, and they're still doing it, and they've thrived. So some of our harshest critics, and I always say about critics is our harshest critics are often our biggest secret admirers because they look at you, Sheila, and they see what you've done and they think, I want to be like Sheila. But one, they don't want to put in the effort and time to do it. Two, they don't want to commit. And three, they're afraid. They're afraid to do it. So, we've got to take that into consideration that some people are afraid to go out of the box, and do what we're doing. Because let's face it, rewiring the whole way you eat after 65 years, to one meal a day. And we'll talk about that now. Let's talk about that right now, actually, your eating window. So you mentioned when you started, you already got that message of the clean fast. You're all about that. And so with your eating window, you mentioned also that you started off eating all the things and you soon realized that eating all the things meant two different things and you gravitated towards higher quality foods. So how's all that looking for you now and how has all that evolved over the 5 years?
Well, I kind of do the two equivalent to two meals a day, you know, with because I do not do a nomad. I found that I could not eat enough food with at one sitting to sustain me, and I would try to eat until it made me sick. So I'm happy with what I'm doing, and I also said I don't do extended fasts. The longest I fasted was 24 hours, and that was it was just so happened that I could not eat. I liked the 18 to 20, sometimes 21 or something like that over the 5 years. I was looking at my Zero app. That's what I did today. And just looking back on that. But with regard to the food, I like good food. I cook about three or four meals a week, and then we eat leftovers or forage. And so I have to cook for my family. My husband, he's still working, and he is a meat and potatoes fella. But, you know, I can cook enough food to have what I like. I choose healthier foods. I'll do frozen when I'm cooking frozen foods as opposed to cans of always fresh meat. But, you know, I pick out the healthier options. Now, I do eat my pizza. I don't care. We have a Chick-fil-A here. I don't know if you're familiar with Chick-fil-A. That's our, okay. And those are the two things that I like pretty good. The other stuff, the fast foods, just don't get it for me anymore. I like, and I love seafood, and we'll go out and eat seafood and just incorporate healthy options. You know, I have been on so many diets. I could write books about diets, what you should eat, what you shouldn't eat, nutrition, everything. But, you know, what you choose, nobody can decide what goes in your mouth but you, you know, when you're eating. And so I just, the one thing I do struggle with is sugar, sweets. That is my downfall.
Yeah. Was that a struggle for you? Like, you know, a lot of people know why they get to 70 pounds overweight, right? Like, I knew why I was obese because, one, I was a sugar addict. Two, I was a fast food addict. I didn't exercise. I didn't care about my health. There was a lot of reasons why I was 360 right. pounds, and it was an accumulation over a lot of years. But sugar was the biggest driver of all for me as why I was obese. I knew why I was obese. Did you know when you were 70 pounds overweight why you were 70 pounds overweight, Sheila?
Yes, it was the sugar. I would always turn to sugar. I'm an emotional eater, as I guess probably every morbidly obese person. I can't imagine that they would not be. But yes, it is that. And I struggle with that every day. And I still have sugar. Don't eat anything like I used to. I still have the one Coke Zero. I'm a Coke person a day. And I've switched to tea, and I'm good with drinking, you know, black coffee and unsweetened teas and stuff and water. And I struggle with getting enough water in. So that are my two struggles. And I fasted sugar for 40 days one time. And I was, by the end of that 40 days, I was inventing every kind of thing that would be taste sugary, you know. So I know that's my addiction. That is my addiction.
Yeah. So that's still a work in progress for you, even after 5 years. You know what? I was just talking to someone today about it, and they said that it just keeps dogging them. The sugar addiction keeps raising its head. They're fasting okay. They're doing all right. But the sugar addiction is hitting them. And I'm a big advocate. You've heard me talk about this. That I believe if you have a sugar addiction, you have a binge eating problem, you have a problem with alcohol, whatever it may be, you need to deal with that as a side issue to fasting. So fasting can be put on the back burner until you deal with this, because if you don't deal with it once and for all, it can constantly come up and you'll have reversions. You'll have, you know, times where you might worry about regain when you break out. And sometimes a breakout with sugar addiction can be a couple of hours. It can be a few days. It can be weeks, or it can be months. But it will come back to haunt you if you don't deal with it. So I think that you've done amazingly well. But if you can just get that final piece with the sugar addiction, I think you're really going to be happy about this, right?
Yeah, I've read what you wrote about sugar addiction and everything, and I found it very interesting what you were saying. And I've given it a lot of thought. I'll just leave it at that. I've given it a lot of thought. I used to think I could give up. I couldn't give up sugar, but I could. But now I think it would be coffee that I couldn't give up, because for people who are fasting, sometimes to get through it, coffee is very important. Coffee or tea, the caffeine. You know, for especially in the beginning, but for my morning, I'm so busy, and I like that rush that I get from the coffee. I don't drink coffee all day. I drink it in the morning, and just on occasion, I may have a special cup with something. But for the most part, I do that. But yeah, I do struggle with that. It's not like you know, okay, you've lost the weight now, everything's perfect, because I know the sugar is inflammatory. I want to be healthier. It's, you know, as bad as salt or even worse, I guess. But I want to be as healthy as I can be. And that would require for me to stop eating the amount of sugar that I eat.
Yeah. You know, I've interviewed 240 people, Sheila, and, you know,
oh, wow.
Mentored hundreds more, coached more than that. And most of the problem has come from sugar. It really has. Two of the problems, actually, sugar or alcohol, have been the two major drivers for people that are struggling. And once they've got the sugar out of their life, then it makes such a difference. And we did a series in a Patreon community. As you know, we have a Patreon community. And we did a four-part audio series on breaking free from sugar. We broke it down from the start. And the people that followed that through have done amazingly well. Some of them now on 150 days sugar-free, which is amazing. Yeah, but sugar is a constant issue, and it's something that I think about a lot too, being a former addict. I know that I could break out at any stage, but I've got it under control now. But what I learned about sugar was that I don't have to be addicted to it. I just need to moderate myself with what I do about it, but I don't crave it and I don't want it. But it doesn't mean that I'm never going to have anything at all with sugar in it, because most of our foods or most of our products that we stumble across or our drinks or something either have sugar or they have, you know, artificial sugar. But we don't need to eat or drink them, of course. And there's a lot of food and drink that doesn't have sugar in it. So it's finding those alternatives for me. That's how I got around it, Sheila. Just finding alternatives. And you're probably being the same. You mentioned you're a great cook, right?
Now, I didn't say great, but I do like to cook. But thank you. My family, they appreciate my cooking. And I like, you know, I like to do gourmet stuff, but I find the day-to-day grabbing, you know, getting something on the table, especially when I was working. It's better since I've retired. There's not a rush. But yeah, I do like to cook. And I like to bake a little bit. I'm not a good baker, but I do enjoy homemade desserts. I've tried to talk myself into not eating the Little Debbie snack cakes, you know, that kind of stuff, but trying to be particular about the dessert and have a really nice decadent dessert as opposed to just eating chocolate, eating food like that. So I'm working on it. I don't know if I could go cold turkey anytime soon, but I am working. I'm thinking about it really hard.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to help you. And
yes,
I think, you know, when you make that decision, and you just say, as I said, you'll never totally, totally, totally. I mean, some people will say, I'm totally, totally free of sugar. But there's always something that comes up. Or you know, I remember I told the story. I went to get a drink out of the fridge while I was fasting, and I thought it was soda water, which doesn't have any sugar or anything in it, right?
Right.
I took a swig of it, and it was actually Indian tonic water, which had 10 teaspoons of sugar in this little bottle. And I remember having a swig of it. And like you, I spat it out all over our back deck. I couldn't believe just the way it tasted. And now when I think about sugar, what I do is I'll go into a bakery and I see the slices and I see the cakes and all that. I might go in there to get some artisan bread for my wife for dinner or whatever it may be. But I don't see the cakes and the slices anymore. What I see is a big pile of sugar. That's how I visualize it. And that's how it helps me get through it, because I look at it and I think, I just don't need that in my body anymore. And plus, I say to myself, I know what they taste like. I've eaten thousands of vanilla slices. Thousands. I'm not exaggerating. In my lifetime, over my life, I've eaten thousands of slices, cakes, all that sort of stuff from bakeries. So I know what they taste like. And that's the thing. Once you actually can get around that feeling that you just want to eat all that sugar. It's really freeing, Sheila.
I can imagine. I can imagine it would be. You know, I don't wake up and say I have to have sugar today, or I want sugar, or drink sweet drinks. I prefer to eat my sugar as opposed to drinking sweet drinks, because, you know, that just makes more sense to me. But I do love fruit now, and I eat lots of vegetables, and fruit has become very important to me as far as getting that sugar in. And I'm hoping to be able to go in that direction. Stay away from the white sugar.
Yeah, you've done amazingly well already. I'm going to move now into your maintenance phase. And you mentioned there 5 years of fasting, 2.5 years of maintaining. And I know there's a lot of people that worry about maintenance. And for me, maintenance was a very different mindset shift. It really was. There's a lot of challenges in maintenance, just the same as what there is when you're losing the weight. It's not a straight line. So let's just talk through your maintenance. When you got to that stage, what were your thoughts? Did you have a plan? Has that changed, or how do you roll with maintenance?
Well, what I didn't have a plan. I didn't know how much I wanted to weigh. I didn't have a goal. I just wanted to have the good be, you know, I wanted to be normal weight for me and what was healthy for me. And so when I decided to go on maintenance, it was when I realized I did not need to lose any more weight. The one thing that the doctor also told me about losing weight, she said, you do not need to be too thin as you age. Older people need to have some weight on them. They do not need to be skinny. They don't need to be morbidly obese, but they do not need to be skinny. And I look fine. I wear a size, I think I told you, and you said our listeners would be interested, I wear a size small or medium or 8 to 10, just depending on what it is and how comfortable I want to be. With regard to the maintenance, I just started and to see how I did. And if I fast more than like 16 hours, if I do 18 hours, I'll start losing weight. And I don't want to lose weight. I do look a little haggard and sickly if I get under. I got down to like 130, 130, and that was way too less for me. That 4 pounds makes a big difference, believe it or not. When I was morbidly obese, 4 pounds was nothing. But so with that, I just do the same thing. I fast every day, just like I always did. I don't do alternate days or anything. I never take a break on the weekend. I'm committed when I say that I have fasted every single day for 5 years. If I have a brunch to go to, I just break early. Okay. I don't say, oh, I can't go. I can't do that anymore. You know, in the beginning, I was very rigid. Now I don't, but I do know that if I, like you said, if you, you called it something a few minutes ago, what did you call it? Well, I know that if I start and being real lax, I'll go back to being overweight. I'll stop.
Being complacent in maintenance is a big challenge for people, you know, getting overconfident, being complacent. You know, you start thinking about, oh, you know, maybe I can have this and go back to my do this or do that now that I'm in maintenance. And all of a sudden, one day becomes two, two becomes seven, seven becomes weeks, and then that becomes months, and then you're on a slippery slope. So it's not getting over complacent. How I like to describe maintenance, Sheila, is vigilance without obsession, because you can be vigilant, but
vigilance
you don't need
without opposition, you said?
Vigilance without obsession.
Obsession. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm vigilant and I'm not obsessed about it, right? So
yes, absolutely.
I don't obsess over it, but I'm vigilant. And I think that's the key marker for me. And talking about being vigilant, are you a person that weighs, Sheila, or do you daily weigh, or you don't weigh at all?
I do weigh. I am a slave to the scale. I weigh every single day. I always have. I did not get upset during the fasting period when I did not lose weight, because it was just my habit from all the years of dieting that I did that. And I still do it one time a day. And it doesn't affect much about except for a lot of reasons. So really, I want to be sure not only that I'm eating enough food, but that I'm eating the right food. If I'm staying with what I need to do for my body. And I don't know if you have felt this way about fasting. I think some people have. I feel like my, it sounds crazy, my body tells me what I need to eat.
Yeah. Well, it's intuitive eating. The longer you do this, I mean, you've been doing this for 5 years now. So what happens is you get so in tune with your hunger signals that the longer I go, I don't have any apps. I've never had any apps. I don't look at clocks on the wall. My body tells me when it's time to eat in the late afternoon. It will say, Graham, it's time to eat now. And I have that feeling that I'm in tune with my true hunger signals. I'm not saying to myself, I'm so hungry I could chase the horse and eat the jockey. Or, you know, I'm starving. Yeah. You know, you have people say to you, oh, I'm starving, I'm so hungry, you know.
Yeah.
And they're actually not, because it's a mental hunger. So there's two types of hunger, as we know, Sheila, and you know. There's a mental hunger, and then there's that hunger where you might feel a bit unsteady, your body's sort of not feeling well, you feel lethargic, and that's the time to listen to your body and sort of break your fast.
Yes.
You have to. But the mental hunger is something that people find a real challenge when they first start, and they find that they get to their eating window and they go hell for leather and they eat everything in sight. And that's why I say to people, when you open your window, just eat something higher in fat and slow down. So just work us through that process, appetite correction that you know about. When did that come for you back in the fasting period?
Really was about 6 months in that I really started realizing, you know, you're going to be sick if you eat that much. You know, I would get full and I would, you know, you eat to keep from getting hungry. You know, I still had that thought maybe a little earlier, but it really, you know, went into gear, you know, about 6 months.
Yeah.
And I realized, you know.
Was there anything you missed when you started fasting, like compared to your former lifestyle? Was there anything you missed at all? Like socially going out with people in the mornings or catching up with your family for breakfast or things like that?
I did miss breakfast. That's what I was going to say. I miss breakfast. So a lot of times I'll have breakfast for dinner. Mm. I did miss that, but I never was a big breakfast person. You know, initially it was kind of hard, but then kind of people, if they wanted to see me, they kind of got on my schedule and they said, well, what time does your window open?
Yeah.
And we can do it, you know, we can do it with that. And I appreciate all those friends who have been supportive of me and my journey and who were willing to do that, you know, and, my daughter was in high school then. And so I started breaking at 3 when she would get out of school so that I could, you know, go eat with the girls, you know, go after school and everything and do something like that. So I just changed up a little bit too, because I like to eat maybe every day around 1 or 2.
Yeah.
That's good for me. But I would extend it a little longer and try to do that. But I guess maybe I just miss the breakfast, you know, doing things like that or cooking breakfast for my family on the weekends, because I don't cook breakfast in the mornings. And so a lot of them, they like to have a big breakfast. And at first, the smell of it, you know, and I would wish I could have some of it, and I would always save some for later. But, you know, it's never the same. But
for walks and walking past cafes and seeing all these people eating breakfast at 7:30 in the morning, 8 o'clock, and that's something I used to do a lot. And I missed that. I missed that social aspect of it. But I learned to overcome that because I was working towards a health goal, right? And I knew that once I got to that health goal, then I may be able to do something a bit more flexible. For me, maintenance brought that. And the flexibility to make maintenance sustainable for life for me was, okay, I'm not just going to do OMAD anymore. I just can't do one meal a day, 7 days a week. I have to try and do something different, but I don't want to do anything too different that I might cause regain or something like that. So I decided to do 22-2 instead of 23-1 during the week. And then on the weekends, I decided I was going to do 16-8 and do TMAD so I could go down and have a brunch with my wife, open up the social life a bit. And that's worked really well for the past few years for me. It's been really great. But I find now, as I mentioned earlier, I'm more intuitive. So it might be some days might only be 16 hours in maintenance. Some days it might be 18 hours. Some days it might be 20. But it's never a straight line. It just depends how I feel in the day. But I think I've got enough tools in the intermittent fasting toolbox now in my maintenance lifestyle to be able to just recalibrate. I have a goal range, not a goal weight. Are you the same? Do you have a goal range rather than just a goal weight?
I don't even think about having any kind of goal weight or anything, because I can't see my life without doing fasting. I want to always be able to fast, always to have the presence of mind to fast, because it has just made my life so much better. It's the best thing that has ever happened to me in my life other than my family.
Yeah.
Intermittent fasting is the best thing
that's
for me.
Fabulous. Remiss of me too, not to mention, you mentioned earlier that you lost your husband, one of your husbands there, and we honor his memory,
yes,
of course, and yes, thinking about him and your family there. But, you know, speaking of your family, support is very important in this lifestyle, obviously over 5 years. Have you found you've got a lot of support? And also, you know, where do you get your support and how do you stay plugged in? Because I think staying plugged into community and with like-minded people mm-hmm. is very important as well, Sheila.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I really, like I said, I talk with my friends who are fasting, and I really enjoy the fasting groups. I'm a member of several. I enjoy the Fasting Highway, your group. It's well managed. I appreciate all the information we get, and we really do get a lot of support in there. And I appreciate that. But my family is very supportive, and my friends are. I think they were as shocked as I was. Because I had never done well on a diet. I hated for people to ask me, well, how are you doing on your diet? Oh, I stayed on it 2 days. So, you know, you get to where you just think, oh, I'm not going to, you know, why bother? I'm not going to stay on it. But, you know, I didn't give up. I didn't give up. But I've got a lot of support from them. My husband's very supportive. He says he tried it. He lost about 11 pounds and just found that it didn't work for him. I think once he retires, he works at night. He drives. He's a truck driver. And it's just he found it very hard to do. But once he retires, I think maybe he'll try again. And you know, it's not for everybody. I wish that it was, because to me, it's just amazing. It's amazing. And but I do, you know, I get a lot of support. But I'm a very independent person, too. The happiness that I get from being able to do just about whatever I want to do, keep up with these kids, keep up with my friends, go anywhere, shop, do anything. When I see so many people who are not, that's just enough for me. And just to be able to eat delicious meals, healthy meals, some snacks, you know, some pizza. I talk about pizza a lot. That's my favorite, but go-to snack. But, you know, and just... I can do it. I'm in control. Okay, let's put it like this. I'm in control now, and I don't think about gaining weight again, because I do know if I do not stay on intermittent fasting that I will gain weight back. I know there's no other option for me. I have to do it because this it works.
I strongly believe that if you're living an intermittent fasting lifestyle for a number of years and you revert back to 3 meals a day and snacks, even if they're healthy, you're going to regain. You're going to regain.
Yeah.
I know for 100% I will regain. I know on the weekends when I do TMAD, I regain. So what's 7 days a week going to do for me? You know, and it's not that I'm afraid of that. It's that I don't want to do it. That's the thing. I don't want to eat all day because I know how fasting makes me feel, and I know how clean fasting makes me feel, and I love the energy it gives me, and I don't have to worry about food. I don't have to go seek it. I don't have to prepare it. I don't have to do anything. I just have to eat the right food at the right time of the day after I've given my organs a rest from digestion. I've let my cells repair. And everything, I always describe it as a bunch of Oompa Loompas running around on the inside, scrubbing all my organs clean while I'm fasting, right? I have this image of, like, you know, Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, and they're all dancing around with brooms, and they're scrubbing my kidneys and scrubbing my liver. And I just feel so great inside. And then when it comes to the end of that fast, I look at the eating window as a compliment to that fast. And that's why I want to honor that fast by eating what makes me feel my greatest during the eating window. Mm-hmm. And so when the whole process is complete, the fast and the feast, I feel great. I don't feel terrible. I don't feel overstuffed. I don't go to bed rolling around, not being able to sleep. I feel great. I wake up the next day, I feel great. And that's all from, one, the fasting, and two, what I'm fueling my body with, nutrient-dense, high-quality foods. The problem is if you're going to fast all day and then you're going to fill your body up with really poor nutrition, fasting won't help you. Fasting will not help you because you'll find it hard. and it's hard to sustain that and not regain the weight.
Well, it's funny. You were asking about my family and everything. Now, occasionally they will see me eating something really odd and they'll say, "What are you eating now?" If I'm hungry and I feel like, and my body is telling me you didn't get enough of this, I'll go and I will get a steamable bag of turnip greens and put them in the microwave and put some hot sauce on that. Now, I don't eat the whole bag, but that's what I will eat. That is what my body is craving. It said, "You need this. You need this. You need some peas," just anything like that. I've taken for black beans and heated them up and put them over some rice and some peppers, just to eat the peppers raw, things like that. But not because I think it's necessary, but I feel like that's what my body needs, food. It needs food. It doesn't need a pack of crackers or chips. It needs food.
Yeah.
And when I tell them, I said, "You know, I need food." It's like, I need real food.
Yeah. Well, I always put the analogy about cars, right? If you put poor oil and poor fuel in the car, you put great oil and great oil in the car, in the different car, well, yeah, guess what car is going to last you the longest? And that's the same with our bodies. You put the good stuff in our bodies and our bodies will last us longer. It took me a long time to work that out, Sheila, nearly half, well, three quarters of my life. You know, but I think that we're lucky that we found it when we did, because, you know, you're 65, I was 55, and I feel so grateful that I've had this shot at having a really great, you know, next 20, 30, 40 years to enjoy my life. And you two, you've retired. And what a gift when you retire. I mean, people talk about having all this money when they retire, but to have your health, I reckon, is worth more than any money.
It truly is. And, you know, when you go to the doctor, I go and have my physical and everything, and you're looking at that blood work and you're looking at all that, and it's wonderful. And you go, and I've had nurses, when they've taken my blood pressure before it was in my chart that I was doing intermittent fasting and everything, and they'll say, "Look how low your blood pressure is. You don't take medicine for blood pressure." I said, "No, you know, I just don't have hypertension." And they, you know, and so finally, and I would tell them, they say, "Oh, I'm going to have to start that." And I hope they do, but just to be healthy. And I pray that I can continue to have health. Anything, you know, anything can happen to anyone. You know, I've not heard anyone or read anything in any of our groups about people recovering from cancer. Now, I know diabetes, that's a given, but I've never heard about cancer. I don't know if you have or not, if that's something that people who do intermittent fasting have, but I do know that, you know, being overweight and fat, that cancer cells love that. They love.
Yeah. Well, what I'll say about that, Sheila, is I know during COVID, there was a lot of studies that a lot of the people that died during COVID were obese and heavy because they simply couldn't cope, right? And a lot of people that weren't, they survived. And so there's a message there. But as far as cancer goes, I don't know. There's no research to say that. So we can't, that's drawing a long bow to make that comparison. Mm-hmm. But I certainly know with type 2 diabetes, certainly down in New Zealand, Sarah Cole works in a clinic there, giving people intermittent fasting, you know, that have got type 2. They've reversed literally hundreds of people's type 2 diabetes in this clinic in South Auckland, New Zealand. Amazing. Done case studies on it, presented at medical conferences, and now doctors are prescribing intermittent fasting in New Zealand. Well, some are, which is great. But, yeah, well, we can't really draw conclusions that will cure things like cancer. I know for myself, personally, I had psoriasis, completely vanished off my body. Nothing I'd tried had ever worked in my life. I had it for 20 years, three specialists, top specialists in Australia said, "You will never get rid of this. No matter what you do, you can change your diet. You will never get rid of this." Well, I went away in 6 months. I've talked to, as I said, 240 people in this podcast, scars disappearing, hair regrowth, you know, toenail fungus gone, skin tags falling off, cesarean scars almost disappearing off ladies' bodies, all these things. And you hear it over and over again. So it's not coincidental. So there's a lot of evidence to say that intermittent fasting will help for a lot of things. A lot of people have fibromyalgia. I don't even know if I said that right.
Yes.
But also things like Hashimoto's. They've found that it's been really helpful. But I think there needs to be more studies and more work done on that to say it can help with some things. But, you know, like you said, a left field event can come for any of us at any time, no matter how healthy we are. A good friend of mine, his wife just been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. You know, and this is things that come out of the blue, right? And you just go, wow, you know, that's why I tend to live my life the way I do and live for the day. But, you know, Sheila, I can't tell you how inspiring you are to me personally. It gives me really great confidence going ahead in my life as I age. To see how well you are at 70 is a real boost for me. And I'm sure it is for everybody out there listening and everybody in our community. But if you're sitting around there in Atlanta with a bunch of friends in one of your lovely cafes there and they're saying, wow, Sheila, you look incredible. Look at your skin. You know, you just look beautiful. Tell us what you're doing. How do we get going with it?
Grab them and shake them and say, you've got to do it because it's the greatest thing. You know, I would say, you know, look at me. And my friends that have known me for all of these years and know what a failure I was at fasting. And it was kind of like a joke for me to start any kind of diet because I knew and everyone else knew I wasn't going to stay with it. So, I would say, you know, if I can do it, you can do it too. You can. And it is wonderful. And, you know, we didn't even talk about autophagy. That is amazing. It's real. You know, what it does and you're talking about your skin and everything. Well, guess what that is, you know, no fat back. I tell some of my friends, this is crazy. I'll show, feel my back. There's no fat on that back, no overhang, no fat back. That's, you know, women my age, we're interested in that. We don't want bad fat.
Yeah. That's crazy, isn't it? Well, when you think about it.
Yeah, it is.
Well, autophagy is important too, because the longer we go with this and maintenance, I know myself, I see that body recomposition continually happening for me as I fast. Even though I'm not losing weight, I can see my body changing for the better.
Yeah, and I was concerned about, you know, being in maintenance and not continuing with any autophagy because I know that it is good. The 16 hours, I love that for my maintenance is my preference, but I go for 12, depending on what I've got to do. If I have a function that I want to do and, you know, just depends, but I still see the autophagy. I still see the effects of it. And so that disputes any of the rumors about, or not rumors, but what they say about, you have to go so many hours. I never had any desire to do a long fast like that. I just didn't see it that I felt like I had the stamina for it, or, you know, so I never really tried it other than, you know, when I just something that I couldn't help not being able to eat at the time. But I appreciate what everybody says about it and how they feel. And I can only imagine, because sometimes I just almost hate to stop fasting because I'm just going so fast. And I know that once I eat, I'm not going to have as much energy. So I try to get everything done during the day that I do. And, you know, I hope that when you're back to what you said about the lunch, I do have a friend group that we eat, we celebrate birthdays and everything. And then I do have an alumni group of high school kids that, get together once a month, and some of them have, and some of them are having real success with fasting. And I hope that they, you know, if they can do it, that they see that if I can do it, they can do it.
Yeah, well done. I think that's amazing. I just wanted a message to your family again. You know, Sheila has just motivated thousands of people around the world. You're a role model for this lifestyle for people, as I said, you know, over 65. And keep doing what you're doing. I think you're amazing. And your family is obviously immensely proud of you. They might give you a bit of stick and, you know, a bit of cheek and that sort of thing. But I know they love you deeply and they're so proud of you. They're pop. But yeah, thank you for joining me on the Fasting Highway today, Sheila.
And thank you, Graham. We appreciate everything you do with the fasting group and everything you put into it.
Okay,
it's been
no
a pleasure.
Worries. That's my pleasure. Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Sheila. And thank you for coming on to the Fasting Highway podcast today and sharing that inspirational story with us. Absolutely fantastic, and you are really a true inspiration to the seniors community and I thank you for everything that you do, and I know that your family must be immensely proud of you. So once again, thank you for joining me here on the Fasting Highway. Okay, folks, as you heard in the podcast at the top of the show, this episode is brought to you by our Patreon members community. Without their support, it simply wouldn't come out each and every week. The Facebook group wouldn't exist, and the Fasting Highway wouldn't exist. So we really need your support to keep this going. What do you get back for that? Well, there's a lot, really. You get 2 Zoom accountability meetings a month, extra bonus podcasts, there's bonus content, audio series topics, and much, much more in the Patreon members community to help you with your intermittent fasting lifestyle. And it really has been a success for the members that have joined it. Okay, folks, also, if you are interested in my own story, you'll find that in my book, The Fasting Highway. You can get that on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. Also, if you want the audio version of The Fasting Highway and my journey with intermittent fasting, you'll find that on audiobooks.com, Kobo, Spotify, and many, many other audiobooks platforms. Okay, folks, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.